Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: forgetting those things which are behind. Chapter 6. Forgetting the things which are behind is even more than leaving them. Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In the previous chapter, in which we addressed the point of which are the things that are behind, we mentioned that the Lord, through the testimony of Paul, teaches us that to press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, it is necessary to firmly establish this practice through the following two actions. 1. Forgetting those things which are behind. Plus 2. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. As discussed earlier, Paul presents us with the need to practice two distinct actions that add up or complement each other for a person to advance to the principal target in reference. And considering that the aspect addressed in the present subject is more related to the first point mentioned above, and that an approach has already been made about which are the things that are behind, we would still like to explore further the expression or the practice of forgetting. So, first, let us look at the descriptions about the expression to forget, which were associated with the notes of Strong's Greek Lexicon of the Online Bible, as follows. To forget. 1. To forget in the sense of an act of forgetting. 2. Neglecting, no longer caring for. 3. Forgotten, given over to oblivion, that is, uncared for. We understand it to be very relevant to note that the word that was used to describe a Christian's relationship to that which is behind does not refer to a word that only expresses the act of leaving what is behind, which, however, is included in the practice of forgetting something purposely. By itself, the instruction to leave something or the practice of leaving something may not encompass some points of what is contained in the instruction about forgetting something, for a person may leave something behind but still regarding it as precious or relevant in one's mind or heart. A person, by various circumstances of life, may even be forced to leave something behind, but yet remaining connected to what is left behind in their feelings, thoughts, or affections, thus persisting in attributing value to what they have left already. An individual may come to leave things behind but do so in a displeased way. He or she may even stop practicing them, but still keeping in mind a series of concepts about the things from which one has departed as if they eventually could be good or favorable. Therefore, although the word forgetting mentioned by Paul includes the action of leaving the things which are behind, the practice of forgetting in reference is more than just leaving what the Christian is called to no longer follow. The practice of forgetting something may also include stopping to attribute value in the heart to what one chooses to forget. It comprises no longer be occupied, neither in the feelings or thoughts, with something left behind in the sense of still wanting to value what should no longer be relevant in an individual's life. Deliberately forgetting may also be a reference to giving something to the place of forgetfulness, to the position of no longer being worthy of appreciation or conjecture in the sense of eventually an individual wanting to return to practice or make use of what is behind. When the scriptures show us the relationship a Christian should have with the old man, in contrast to the new inner man made alive by divine grace, through faith in Christ Jesus, they repeatedly and sharply teach us the crucial condition of renewing the understanding of this relationship, where the old should indeed be considered worthless in the face of the newness of life that the Lord grants us in Him, as exemplified once again below. Ephesians 4:20-24. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. Romans 12, 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The practice of forgetting that God instructs us to adopt regarding that which remains or is behind is intended to be a practice resulting from considerations that are based in the understanding of why it is essential to leave the relationship with what is not appropriate and not compatible with the condition of a new creature in Christ. The deliberate action of forgetting the things that are behind encompasses a sober consideration, or taking into account in the heart, of what is fundamental in life and what opposes it, as well as the act of putting oneself in a position of consonance with the reality of what has been provided and is provided to a person in Christ Jesus, as also exemplified below. Romans 6, 4-11. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise you also, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When God instructs Christians to depart indeed from what is behind, both in the active relationship with these things and in no longer considering as valuable, in the heart, a return to the practice of what they have chosen to leave behind, he is not imputing penalties to Christians and is not even calling them to do so without well-informed and very precious reasons. When God calls Christians to indeed depart from things that are no longer worthy of their attention, the Lord is instructing them for the good of themselves and not to deprive them of enjoying the newness of life that is widely offered from heaven according to the righteousness of the kingdom of God. Also, due to a sober positioning of considering that it is appropriate to forget the things that are behind, in the sense that they have no contributory value to the life of an individual and that they are not even worthy to be valued in the heart, that Paul adopted the position of forgetting what was appropriate to be forgotten, as can be observed in his words prior to the declaration that one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, as follows. Philippians 3, 7-9. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. God instructs Christians to leave the things which are behind because what lies behind is a path to destruction and death, and the Lord does not do so for some sort of caprice or because he wants to deprive his children of what could be good for them. God instructs Christians to turn their hearts away from all that which is behind also to protect them so that they do not come to have a divided heart and for them not to put themselves again in a position of vulnerability regarding the attraction or affection for what has so long imprisoned them for the destruction of their lives. James 1, 5-8. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It is just not consistent for people wanting to walk in the ways of God and at the same time to continually feed the heart with memories or longings of the things that are behind, as if God were depriving them of something that could be pleasurable and profitable to them. What the Lord instructs to be forgotten, that is, cease to be practiced and stop to be valued in the heart, is just, right, and good to be forgotten, for it is precisely from the things that a Christian is called to forget that the grace and the mercy of the Lord in Christ Jesus also have redeemed or delivered him or her. At this point, we can remember once more the aspect of the old wine or the old garments, in which we have already seen that there is no compatibility of them with the new. Paul knew that to leave that which is behind, there is also the need for this practice to be accompanied by considering oneself dead to what he former had devoted his life and what inevitably would lead him to condemnation and death if he had not been reached by the mercy and the grace of God, and if he also had not accepted what from heaven was manifested and offered to him for a new life in the Lord. If a person longs for freedom from that which enslaved him or her to perdition and death, why then, after being freed, would he or she want to continue to value what had previously imprisoned him or her? It does not make sense for a person to seek to be free from what enslaved him or her and then wanting to return to that which bound him or her under bondage. It makes no sense for a person to want to combine the freedom that God's grace bestows on him or her with that which enslaves him or her and makes him or her return to the state from which God's grace has already freed him or her. Galatians 2:19-21. For I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. In other words, Paul says that it is not coherent for someone to destroy what is no longer appropriate for his or her life to, after that, wanting to rebuild precisely the same things what one has destroyed. Galatians 2:18. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If Paul did not abandon the law which, before coming to Christ, he served to his own damage, or if Paul tried to combine his new life in Christ with the previous condition he had before knowing the Lord, he would place himself in the way where the benefits that the grace of God had provided for him could come to be lost. Paul understood that what was left behind in his new condition in Christ was precisely what indeed needed to be left behind. He learned that those things were not worth remembering as something that could add virtues to his life, similarly as something that is dead and can no longer produce life. When he realized that the aspects that are behind are unfit to add any benefit to his life, Paul left them and did not occupy himself with what was necessary to give up in order to remain free in the Lord and to be able to advance in the life of the new creature that was offered to him in Christ Jesus. Paul accepted the instruction of the Holy Spirit about what the new life in Christ was, but he also admitted the guidance of the Holy Spirit about what should be considered by all who are in Christ as something devoid of the newness in the Lord, understanding that it is also necessary to stop to regard as valuable what the Spirit of the Lord teaches as not being in fact valuable. John 16:7-11. Nevertheless I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Since a series of earlier aspects of his life were no longer in line with his new position in Christ, Paul realized that it was also no longer reasonable to continue occupying himself, or his heart or mind, about the possibility that these aspects eventually still could have some value for him. The Lord, through the testimony of Paul, teaches us that the things which are behind are no longer worthy of attention, nor are they aspects that a Christian should consider in the sense that one should trouble or worry oneself to keep attributing value to them in one's heart. Christians are called to forget the things that are behind because they do not fit into the condition of new creatures in Christ or oppose it, but the call to leave them is also evidenced by the fact that there is no harm to a Christian leaving them behind. On the contrary, forgetting them is of great benefit to those who do so. Recalling further that, in many cases, it is the understanding that ends up prevailing over the will, as explained in the subject on the law of understanding and exemplified in the text that follows below, if a person does not align one's intention to live and walk according to the wisdom or instructions provided by the Lord also on what are the things which are behind. Claiming to follow the new, but not adopting indeed a posture of forgetting what lies behind, this person may be placing oneself in a double-minded position or in a situation of conflict in his or her understanding of the Lord's will. Romans 7:25. I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, or understanding, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. For the person who happens to be in Christ Jesus, there may be many things which are behind that have lost their significance in the face of the novelty offered by the Lord, even though they seem to be precious or very significant in the past. Thus, the fact that a person has had a great appreciation or affection for something during a time of his or her life does not mean that it is indeed something of value and that it should continue to be cultivated after a person knows the truth and the newness of life in God. Even in the case where a person has been intensely passionate about something, as was the case of Saul in his devotion or zeal for the law of Moses, his or her intense passion does not make the object of passion valuable before the truth and the heavenly righteousness, neither it makes it worthy of being considered as something that should not be forgotten. Moreover, if some aspect was not worthy or precious in the light of God's righteousness when a person became passionate about it, the same aspect remains unworthy even though many or even billions equally become passionate with this aspect, remembering that neither salvation nor perdition are collective aspects, but resulting from personal decisions. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Romans 7:5. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. Plus. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Plus. Romans 6:12. Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That which in the light of God was exposed as something without significance for living and walking as a new creature in God should no longer be the object of the attention of those who have received the condition of being in the Lord and the condition of living and walking in Christ Jesus, no matter how great was the passion, the dedication, the efforts, and the investment of resources toward which in the light of the Lord was revealed as insignificant. Paul made reference to terms like loss and gain regarding the changes of his life when he came to be constituted as a new creature, declaring that which he previously accounted for as profit for his life, he, in Christ, began to account as a necessary and beneficial loss to obtain a real profit, freedom, and eternal life. Paul did not keep himself associated, in any way, to what was behind, even if it may have been extremely precious in his eyes before personally meeting the Lord. Or yet, in other words, Paul said that what he regarded as such a valuable gain before coming to Christ, now, in Christ, he considered as worthless, as waste, or as the excrement of animals, the latter being a more literal meaning of the term he used. Philippians 3:7-9. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. As it happened with Saul, or Paul, people may have been devout, dedicated, or deeply passionate precisely regarding what is equated with rubbish, natural excrement, or dung, but, on the other hand, in Christ Jesus, they are given a perfect and full opportunity to depart of this kind of devotion and affection in the heart. In Christ, people have available even a new heart with new purposes and with the possibility of coming to love, through faith, what is precious in the eyes of God and what has valuable effects for all eternity. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Forgetting something will not necessarily imply not knowing that one day it existed and that it was part of someone's life. Forgetting what is behind, however, is to turn the back on these aspects, in the sense of not wanting to go back to what is behind and in the sense of dropping the possibility of using its concepts and practices again. To forget what is behind is to stop considering as an alternative to life what is inappropriate for the new position in Christ, as well as not to regret or lament for having left the things which are behind. When the Hebrew people left Egypt and encountered the challenges of moving forward, they sometimes, according to the well-known narrative of their history, remembered the garlic and onions of Egypt as an advantage in comparison to the new condition that they had as free people. Nevertheless, the people that were delivered from the bondage of the Egyptians refused to see the whole picture. They refused to acknowledge that garlic and onion were given to them in exchange for harsh slavery, oppression, suffering, and a life without any expectation for them and their descendants. So, through the testimony of Paul, God teaches us that it is not appropriate for a Christian, in the mind and in the feelings, to flirt with what is behind, for there is a great danger in doing so, since returning to things that are behind represents a going back to what is opposed to the life of the Christian in the Lord, and which path has the potential to lead a person again, if one lets oneself be involved with it, to the broad road that leads to death. When Paul came across the challenges of life as a new creature in Christ, he could have remembered the command post, the army, and the many facilities at his feet while serving the Pharisees. And by reminding himself of his past, he could even try to draw some parallels to try to highlight some specific benefits he had under the old structure and to try to highlight the efforts or sacrifices he had made to follow the Lord Jesus. However, Paul refused to do this, for he had understood that the right thing to do, in the face of the love extended to him by the Lord, was to forget what is behind and not to wonder whether he could have gained some temporal advantage if he had remained entirely or partially in the condition of his past. From the moment that Paul left the old things behind, he accepted the Lord's instruction also to leave the whole set of things which are behind, including not performing the practice of conjecturing undue ideas in his mind about what would no longer cause him any good. Through the instruction of the Lord in his life, Paul understood that he had exchanged the whole set of a model of life for an entirely different condition in its fundamental aspects, as well as that the two positions were not compatible or equivalent neither in general nor in their smaller parts. Paul did not incline himself to the wrong thought that he could try to extract the best of both models, for nothing else would have been profitable for him in the things that are behind, except the firm remembrance of them not being, in any way, a path of eternal life or according to the will of God. Galatians 6, 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. When an individual remains pondering over possible particular or eventual benefits that he or she thinks one could still get in what is behind, instead of forgetting what is appropriate to forget, one may be opening spaces or doors for old thoughts to try again to interpose in relation to the new type of life that one received from God, and this to the detriment of his or her life. The scriptures do not instruct Christians to compare life guided by the heavenly instruction with a life guided by a fleshly mind to try to get the supposed best aspects of these two paths. The scriptures teach the Christians not to submit to the fleshly mind, but to seek, think, and focus on that which comes from on high to continually be instructed from the kingdom of the Lord. Considering that a person who genuinely receives the gospel of God is also constituted as a new creature in Christ, it is evident that one is also called to focus his or her thoughts and attitudes on God and the principles of the Lord concerning the newness of life granted to him or her. Every Christian is called to incline his or her thoughts and actions toward what one has received through the association by faith with Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:1-3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Romans 8:5-8, and 12-14. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh you will die, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Thus, we mention here again that the practice of forgetting oneself about the things that are behind is to consider oneself dead to them, it is to know, to believe, and to accept that they are not addressed to those who have been delivered from them by the Lord. Romans 8:9-11. But you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. In his life, when he came to know the way of life by faith in Christ Jesus, Paul left behind the confidence in the strength of the flesh and in the way that he previously intended to ground his faith. And so, what the Lord instructed Paul as the things which are behind, Paul likewise regarded as unprofitable, not seeing any reason to unduly keeping himself busy with them. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the direction that he gave him through the Holy Spirit became the way in which Paul chose to walk. So, to conclude, we ask once more, why does God call every Christian to trust him and to continually practice the act of forgetting those things which are behind? A Christian can have peace in believing in the Lord's instruction to forget what is behind, both in one's actions and thoughts, because in Christ Jesus, God promises to grant him or her all the guidance and provision necessary to live and walk accordingly with the condition of a new creature. To trust in Christ does not only encompass the confidence that one day in the future the Lord will grant eternal life in the Heavenly Father. It as well comprises the confidence that the guidance the Lord grants, by his grace, is the way to enjoy the good will of God also in the daily and practice life while a Christian still lives on earth. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life, he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.